From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. A special Veterans Day salute to all of you who have served, will serve, and continue to serve in the U.S. military, and also family members who have lost a soldier. Our best to all of you. Tonight, a full 4 hours with Danyon Brinkley, and this is what we're going to do. For the first couple hours of the program, as you know, it's tradition with Danyon, who heads up the Twilight Brigade, a tribute to our vets, followed by, of course, his situation, saved by the light. He was hit by lightning several times. We'll also talk with him about his prophecy. Here's what's happening, though. The Philippine president has declared a state of national calamity to speed relief efforts for victims of Typhoon Haiyan. In a statement, he said the two worst affected provinces had suffered massive destruction and loss of life. Now, thousands of survivors are still desperately waiting for aid effort to reach them. The U.S. has sent food, water, supplies, and troops. So far, up to 10,000 people are feared to have been killed. That number could go even higher. Very tragic. But what causes this? This was one of the biggest storms ever, perhaps the biggest. Let's check in with Mitch Batras, earthchangesmedia.com. Mitch, this is unbelievable.
Well, yes, it is. And first of all, George, thank you for your service.
Well, you're very welcome.
This being Veterans Day. It is indeed a tragedy. What is the cause? Well, as you know, my research going back really to 1998 when I produced my first equation, it's the Sun-Earth connection. This is a high time of solar activity. What I didn't know at that time with my first book that I've learned now doing my research is the effect it has on the Earth's core and the warming of the oceans through mantle plumes. That is what's causing these extreme weather conditions. Not only is it does it have an effect on jet stream and ocean currents, but it's the heating of the oceans. So that's unfortunately a recipe for this kind of event. Now, here's some good news, though. As you were saying, that the troops are there now. Almost 180 troops. I think it's going to reach closer to 500 troops by the end. And this, as I mentioned on Friday, George, remember I said something's odd about this particular typhoon as I'm watching it come in. I'm watching it on stream. Mm-hmm. And I said, I told you then, George, this looks like a tsunami. And the reports are flooding in on that's exactly what these people are seeing. But what's caused the greatest amount of casualties is a surge. Now, the surge reached as high as 3.3 feet. Now, 3 feet may not sound like much, but if you're in your living room or dining room or bedroom right now, if you can imagine water coming up 3 feet, but it's not just the height of the water, it's the force of the water.
Right.
Remember, it's a 200-mile-an-hour wind pushing this water, and it's just devastating. The photos are coming in now. And I can just give as much good energy as I can to that area.
Well, Mitch, also, I've got some friends in Hawaii who say they're getting pelted with storms. Could this be part of that typhoon?
Sure. Everything is connected. We kind of know that by now. And recently a research study came out just maybe 10 days ago about something called wave number 5. Now, what I discovered about this term, wave number 5, is simply ocean currents that are shifting along with the jet stream. In other words, George, it's really just reinforced my equation from the beginning. What they said is they're studying hard. They're putting a lot of money and energy into this to study this thing they're calling number 5, the whole point of this is to predict this weather, which may give them as much as 21 days notice.
Well, they're going to need that, Mitch. That is good. They're going to need all they can get. Track Mitch's work, earthchangesmedia.com. NOAA forecasters are estimating a 60% chance of an M-class flare or a 30% chance of an X-class flare over the next day or so. So get ready for that. A new way of scanning the heart can identify those who might be at high risk of a heart attack, according to early tests. It can identify dangerous plaques in the arteries. If a fatty plaque ruptures, it can lead to a clot blocking the flow of blood. The researchers used radioactive tracers, which can seek out active and dangerous plaques. Might want to talk with your doctor about this one. A new broadband invisibility cloak, which hides objects over a wide range of frequencies, has now been devised. Sort of like the Harry Potter movies, of course, of cloaking. The solution is a new ultra-thin electronic system, which they call physical review. Glass Onion Catering Company has recalled more than 180,000 pounds of ready-to-eat salads and sandwich wrap products with fully cooked chicken and ham that may be contaminated with E. coli. Oh, boy, here we go. Distribution centers in Arizona, California, Nevada, New Mexico, Oregon, Texas, Utah, and Washington. So far, 26 people have been sickened in three states. 15 of them they know ate these products in the recall. Let's check in with food safety coach Jeff Nelkin. Jeff, here we go again. I don't know if we can eat anything at these stores.
Well, George, this is, I think, a first-time event for these folks, and I think that, you know, we're going to have an opportunity to examine, you know, how they produce product and take a look at their operation and see exactly where this, you know, is at in reference. Is it the chicken or is it the salad? Because there are, like, three major salads that are involved, and we want to make sure that if anybody has these salads, you know, Trader Joe's has told you to get rid of it, and you know, they'll get credit for it. But this is, you know, really critical because we're talking E. coli, and we're talking about bloody diarrhea. You know, we're talking about cramps, and this is quite serious. You know, especially if you're a high risk individual.
Well, if you're an older person or a younger person, can you die from E. coli, Jeff?
It's possible because, you know, there is a version of this called HUS, and this gets into your kidneys, and when your kidneys don't function, you go on dialysis. And when dialysis doesn't work, you know, yes, you know, you can die from this.
All right, Jeff, thank you so much. Well, if you happen to order from Amazon and you live in New York and Los Angeles, eventually Dallas, Houston, New Orleans, and Phoenix, the post office is going to deliver your packages on Sunday. Just remember that. In New York City, the head of the food bank there says 40% of the veterans need food assistance. That's absolutely deplorable. They're eating in soup kitchens. Our veterans. In a moment, we'll be talking with Danyon Brinkley for a couple hours about our veterans with some riveting stories. But of course, tradition here at Coast to Coast AM, a salute to our military. First, those of you who have served, and you, of course, family members from some of your loved ones who served in the Army, here you go. I still get goosebumps listening to those songs. Of course, here's the Navy. Semper Fi now, Marines. And, of course, who watches our skies? Ha-ha, yes, the Air Force. We'll be right back. And, of course, our final tribute, we can't forget the Coast Guard. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. As a tradition here on Coast to Coast every year, Danion Brinkley joins me as we pay tribute to our vets. Danion, of course, has devoted his life to the Twilight Brigade. He's trained, thousands and thousands of volunteers to be at the bedside of our nation's dying veterans. He's going to be with us for the entire program tonight. The first half we're going to devote to our vets. We're going to take calls from you vets as well. Or for those of you, of course, who have been family members of vets. Then later on in the program, Danion, of course, best-selling author, Saved by the Light. He's been hit by lightning so many times, I can't count. We're going to talk with him about his prophecies for the future. But it is my pleasure, my honor, to welcome Danion Brinkley back to Coast to Coast. Hello, Danion.
Hey,
thank
George.
You again.
You know, it's a sincere pleasure. You know, George, think about this. This all started 15 years ago. I mean, and I just expressed the friendship and the joy when Art started this, and we kept that tradition of being the people that we are as veterans. You know, and no matter what goes on in the whole world and the life of everybody else, there's that bond between veterans that doesn't stop. So before we start, I'd like you to let me dedicate this show to two people. First, to publicly recognize and thank from the bottom of my heart Heidi Beatty. She is the retiring COO of the Twilight Brigade, and she's given 12 years of her life to and being brilliant in running this organization. And the other is to my beloved Catherine. Without her, I would be lost.
Can I throw in one more?
Absolutely.
My father, who passed away, as you know, almost 2 years ago, served in
World War II. Absolutely. No question.
One heck of a guy. Danion, I want to come back after the break, of course, as we begin this special tribute and talk about your work, what you've done with the Twilight Brigade, which is just truly remarkable. It has been such a pleasure to know you all these years and the work you put in. I can't tell you how many emails I get from people every day who simply say, Danion has saved our life. We're going to be back in a moment with our veterans tribute to Danion Brinkley and you. And welcome back to Coast to Coast AM. Danion Brinkley was a guest of mine on our television show Beyond Belief some time ago, and you can watch that riveting interview with Danion for free. Just simply go to beyondbelief.com, sign up for that, and then go back and search for that specific edition. You get 10 days free, beyondbelief.com. And welcome back to Coast with Danion Brinkley as we talk about our vets. Danion, that story I had about in New York, 40% of the returning vets on some kind of food welfare program. Absolutely deplorable, isn't it?
Oh, George, let's take a look at our veterans like we do on our annual report. Our biggest issue is PTSD. It's what leads to hunger and homelessness. It's what leads to suicide. It's what leads to abuse. I mean, we have a raging bunch of problems that are facing our veterans. PTSD, because they're drugging them. I mean, the Wall Street Journal had an article today, drugs, the demon to what's happening, people rotating back because they can't integrate. And what they're doing is giving them antidepressants without treating the nature of what PTSD is, which is causing enormous abuse. I mean, it's in Fort Hood today about a child sex ring. Jeez. So when we start to look at what the
what war has done in damage to this generation, then we see what has to be taken care of. Because when you look at the homeless is eight, we're now the veterans is 8%, but they're like 40% of the population, and 16% of the homeless population, George, and 16% of that are women veterans.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's where it's people that it's crazy. So the first thing is hunger, because they are hungry. They're looking for work. Today we have almost 2 million servicemen looking for work, and because we're rotating out of a war, probably another 20,000 a month from all branches are coming into the business market, the job market. So now we're complicating that with PTSD. Then the next big crisis is suicides. Every 65 minutes, a veteran commits suicide in the United States of America, 22 a day.
And it's growing, isn't it?
Absolutely. And 185 active duty. So there, George, that's what telling us. The young ones coming in doing 2 or 3 tours, and the old ones who feel neglected or left or alone. Okay, because now we can see a whole pattern since World War II, because after World War II, if a veteran came home, somebody would take him in and feed him.
If a veteran came home, he was celebrated with a ticker tape parade.
Right.
You know, here they booed you from Vietnam instead of understanding that it was the soldier, he had to go.
I didn't really give him much chance in those days. George, I didn't allow a much chance to boo. I'd hit the first one really, really hard.
Yeah, you were different. You were a different kind of animal in those days, weren't you?
Yeah, you know, I'd hit them so hard that the next 2 or 3 talking would decide if they needed their face to look like the one that was doing the original booing.
Oh man!
You know, well, this happened 10 or 12 times, and then I developed a rep.
Daniel, tell me a little bit about the Master Sergeant from the Air Force, Bill Hatfield.
Here's what's so cool about Bill. Bill's a Twilight Brigader. His wife is our national train-to-trainer. And he's a Master Sergeant with 22 years in the Air Force, and he's really smart, George. And as he's reaching into his 70s, and he's in the Twilight Brigade, and he's looking back, I said, George, I said, Bill, look, we need to look back through all the information that he has to see what we have to focus on. I mean, we came up with these topics. And so when you get to hear a voice who served those that long, and he raised a lot of different eras of veterans and kids on active duty, then his perspective is important, because he works in the end of life looking back to see what is wrong and what we have to do.
Let's bring Bill in here. Senior Master Sergeant Bill Hatfield. Bill, thank you for serving, sir. Good to have you on the program.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here.
Daniel, because you know Bill and you know what he's been through, I want you to conduct a few moments here with him.
I got it.
Would. Go ahead.
So, Bill, as we look back and as we're watching the things that we know the biggest problems are PTSD, because kids not being able to adapt to the kind of war, hunger and homelessness, suicide, and jobs are the biggest issue. What do you think are the most important things of that people should pay attention to?
Well, just listen to the vets. These vets have built up a wall, and it's hard to get through to them. But, you know, you walk down the street and you see a vet with an Army hat on, a Navy, a CCV ship, or you know, whatever. Let's see. Thank you for your service. And all it does is it provides a chink in that wall. And eventually can start breaking these walls down and letting the ones with PTSD start healing.
So let me ask you something. Do you think that wall is being built up based on mistrust, abuse, neglect by our Veterans Administration, or the things that people deal with in the VA?
That's part of it. That's definitely part of it. You know, it's all of us have seen a lot of things we would like to forget, and that started building that wall. and we're trying to forget them, and they're behind that wall. But when we go into the VA, and I have a son that goes to the VA, and he just, it's like they're non-entities. They're not people when they walk in there. And I'm not saying all the VAs are this way, but certainly the ones that he's gone to have been. And there's just not that personal touch and the listening that these vets need.
Because that's part of the therapy. If you were going to bring them back in, Bill, part of the therapy of somebody who's talked to war and fight and kill in 130 degrees, and just like in the NOM, you don't know who your enemy is.
Right.
He's not dressed in a uniform. He's got on a dress for sure. Okay, and then in the NOM, they had on tire tread boots and shorts, but you didn't know who your enemy was in 130 degrees. When these guys try to integrate back into American society, a part of that process is the VA to be more responsive to the needs of those veterans. That's what you're saying?
Definitely. Definitely.
And so that's the first way we break the kink in the armor to deal with PTSD, hunger, homelessness, suicide, and jobs. Because the other thing that I'm watching, Bill, and you could comment on this, is how many prescriptions. If you look at the system, there's too many prescriptions being given, like the Wall Street Journal article about drugs and demons, that the worst thing about PTSD, so many veterans are saying, is the amount of drugs that they're giving them. Like this one guy had 12 prescriptions of antidepressants. So not only is PTSD a problem, but the system that the VA is using, which is pharmacology, is failing. And we must look at complementary and alternative possibilities, don't you think?
Definitely. Definitely.
Bill?
My son went through this, and they had him to a point at some times where he couldn't function as a fully awake individual. He has gone through some programs, not at the VA, though, that got him off a lot of these drugs. And it's
complementary therapy.
Complementary therapy.
Bill, thank you for serving, by the way. Bill Hatfield, Senior Master Sergeant. What a wonderful person.
Dan. And his wonderful wife, Sandy, is my national trainer. Because people forget, George, if he was serving for 22 years, so was she.
That's right.
She was on that base with him all over the world. So we as veterans understand. So I have to make a correction about Catherine. I was dedicating the show to Heidi and to Catherine, who is my heart and soul, who I would be lost without. She just corrected me.
Just got an email from someone who is literally crying as she types this email to us. Thanking you for your service, Danyon, to these veterans, your service to the country. I mean, and I'm going to paraphrase this because she's truly broken up. And she said, in all my life, I've listened to radio programs all the way across the dial. And finally, I have found a station that devotes some time to our veterans. And, you know, Danyon, we probably should do more. We do at least an hour plus 2 hours a year with you.
Yeah, 15 years,
on this.
George.
And,
not just a day. Not
I know,
a couple of weeks
I know,
ago.
But you know what? You know, we cover so many subjects on this program, as you well know. I think we can devote a little more time to our veterans who have given their lives, who will give their lives for us. Somebody's got to do it.
And it might as well be us. I mean, we have the heritage, we have the history. I have all the documentation in front of me, you know, of what's going on, how many guys. There's one thing I wanted to ask you based on a conspiracy, but we have to look at PTSD and its treatment programs. We have to pay attention to how many is hungry and how many are going to be homeless, because we have almost 2 million veterans in the street looking for jobs. So if it's a veteran, everybody, and he's reasonably sane, he's not on 15 drugs, that's a HIPAA violation if they ask you that and you have to answer it. So mark that out. But then you hire that veteran. You give him a reason to live and a place to want to be proud of himself. When we have women veterans on the street, what happened to us, America? And I'm with you, George. If we did this twice a year, and we just take 2 hours, and we look at it, and we talk about it, because we hear what everybody's out there, just like us, looking at, and what's going to happen to the VA system based on the Affordable Health Care Act. They thought they would take people away when they were doing the Affordable Health Care Act. But what they're looking at is a massive rise in people coming into the VA. I mean, and they're going to come, especially in, because we have no long-term care. You know, that was kicked out of Medicare, so we don't have that. So what we have is the people, the veterans can come. The system is prepared.
I've got to tell you, Daniel, you know, our corporation, through its iHeartRadio, has devoted an enormous amount of time to generate services and jobs for our vets. And I got to tell you, I'm very proud of what they've developed for that, too. More companies need to step forward and do what you and what they've been doing.
But I'm proud of everybody who tries, George, because, look, in the West Los Angeles VA, where my headquarters, where the Twilight Brigade's headquarters is, I get a chance to see all of this. And if I go to Donna Bidner, who is the head of it, and to Sandy Robinson, and to the people in the hierarchy, because we've been there 15 years, they don't really argue with me. They help me and they work with me. So I have a rare glimpse into things that, as I look at these crises and what we as Americans and veterans have to focus on, then every year or twice a year, we go through it. PTSD has to be dealt with, and it has to look at a complementary equal to the drug therapy. Alcoholism has to be looked at. Abuse has to be looked at, because I'm going to put all this up on the Twilight Brigade website so people can come over and pick something to call their congressmen and senators about and to request it. You know, why not? We can do so much work, George, to care about our veterans. First, if we have the data. First, if we understand the system. And then third, if we apply the proper pressure based on it's an election year. Okay, this is the biggest midterm election year, 2014, in the history of this country since the World War II.
We're going to give out a couple websites for you tonight. For the first couple hours, folks, I want you to concentrate on thetwilightbrigade.com. That's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Daniel, take a few moments and just tell everyone about the Twilight Brigade, how you started it, and what it's now doing.
Well, here's where we are. I mean, I looked at what the need was, and I saw the failure based on end-of-life care. Dying is such a taboo. It creates a distance between the person in going in transition and the person who stays. And what I did was I would take my father to the VA, who was a World War II veteran and one of the coolest cats that ever lived. And he could handle the VA, and so I would wander around. And I found the AIDS department in the system. It was a rented out place, but it was in the VA system. And I went in to visit those AIDS patients, those AIDS veterans. And they got AIDS in a lot of different ways, but how they got it wasn't any of my business. But that was the most depressed group of military personnel I'd ever seen. And I would watch them, George, go in weeks, watch them just disappear and evaporate. But I got a chance to see the emotional sides, and I called a lot of parents, and I called a lot of friends to come and see them, and I became so close to these 15 or 20 people until it was like my calling after having the near-death experience, which we'll talk about later. It was that moment of calling, and then comes the Marine Corps in me, never leave anybody behind. And then comes me looking at, they're not anticipating the enormous amount based in when I started this in 17 years, when the end of World War II, Korea and Vietnam people began to pass from the earth. And I knew based on what I'd gone through that somebody had to do something about it. So I sat down with a group of friends one afternoon and we were talking about it, and we had a dream. We dreamed that we could create a program based on all the near-death experiences I've been through, and probably then 10,000 hours at the bedside, and I'm now over 30,000 hours. That we could create a program that would teach people to be able to embrace the inevitability. If you're breathing, you're leaving. To face the inevitability, and while you're learning to face it on your own so you can take back your life and not be afraid, you could be of service to someone who's going someplace ahead of you, and you can watch to be a better person. So I focused on veterans, and someone asked me the other day, so Dana, why are you so focused on dying veterans? It's because I am one. And when you look at it from being 63 years old and you watch all the where health care is, then you realize it was a smart move to create a Twilight Brigade, a trained, disciplined group that has the ability to go and be at the bedside of a passing veteran and deal with the issues of PTSD and all the things that they go through. But in the byproduct of it, George, they learn so much about themselves, you know, what their fears are and what they go through, and then they get to be a part of a family. And so this is what I've accomplished so far as we get into that is the Twilight Brigade, the VA is now writing its standard end-of-life care model program.
Let's also thank tonight, Daniel, by the way, Nurse Joyce Riley.
Absolutely.
For her incredible work with returning vets and as she continues to fight the fight, too.
But also, too, look at Wounded Warriors. Look at this guy who got a complete robotics. I mean, if anybody was going to invest anything in, if you were looking at your investment, it'd be robotics, because look at what this guy who was a chopper pilot who hadn't walked in 15 years got up and electronically could moonwalk based on robotics to give him back his legs. I mean, this kind of stuff, George, is the miracles of what we should all be grateful for that the government and the VA are doing for our veterans. But we should also be truly concerned about the things that we usually talk about on this program. Because, hey, everybody, none of us are kidding. This is what we see, and this is what we do, and this is what we have to focus on. Go to the Twilight Brigade in a couple of days and look at it and pick out where you're from and call your congressman and senator and voice your opinion about one of the things that George and I are talking about.
Daniel, stay with us. We're going to take this break. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. At the top of the hour, we'll take your questions for Daniel Brinkley as we salute our vets. If you want to call in and talk about your vet, somebody that you cared about, perhaps a story you want to share with us, we'll take that too. And then, of course, you vets, if you have a question for Daniel Brinkley as we talk about just about everything that affects you, please do so when we come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Daniel Brinkley, of course, one heck of a guy. Veterans Day, our salute to you. We shall be right back on Coast to Coast AM.